You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Jeff Penscover, City Alderperson and County Board Supervisor, and Brandon Verwink, Director of Human Services in Wood County, on Friday, January 30th. Thank you for joining me, Jeff and Brandon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I've invited both of you here today to talk about homelessness in our community. This has been the subject of several recent meetings between our city and county entities, and the point-in-time count was just completed during the last week of January on a very, very cold night. That count happens twice a year, once in January and once during the summer. It's coordinated by North Central Community Action in partnership with multiple agencies in our area, including United Way, and it relies on volunteers to complete the canvassing of municipalities in Wood County. Jeff, I'd like to start with you, as you've been one of the people behind these recent meetings, bringing together city and county officials, and I'd like you to share with our listeners what brought you to request these conversations.
Well, me and my wife had kind of an eye-opener moment shortly after Thanksgiving last year. We went through the laundromat on Baker Street at 6 in the morning to put something on their bulletin board, and there was a lady sleeping in there. It was cold that night. There was no washers or dryers running, so she was there to stay warm, and she was asleep. Of course, then you kind of notice things. You drive by there, and you look in again, and there were more people sleeping in there. Soon it hit the Facebook page, and according to what we'd read, that three people were basically asked to leave. At the same time, the mayor called me up, and he was concerned about this. There were people asking him questions, and he wasn't sure what the county had to offer. So we arranged a meeting at the courthouse with Brandon here, Lance Plimmel, Matt, Jen Farmbaugh, Sue Smith from the health department, just to have a roundtable meeting. That would have been early December. We decided to get together at the library every Tuesday for the month of January between 1 and 3. Just to see if there was anything out there, any interest. We figured the library would be a good gathering spot if someone was homeless. The heat was there, the magazines, the videos, and all that. So this has been going on for every Tuesday in January. There's been mixed results, but at least we made an effort. I was made aware of all the resources that's available in Wood County. I was not aware of what's out there, and it's really amazing what's actually there if you go to the right source.
And with those entities and those meetings, so you were surprised by the amount of resources that are out there. Were the people that came to the meeting happy to be involved?
Well, they were there. Brandon had a couple people there from the county. And the library staff jumped in to help us out somewhat with that. You know, everybody was eager. There wasn't as many people that approached us, but like I say, we just kind of spitballed the idea. It probably could have been advertised a little better. You know, we put some flyers up here and there, but, you know, this is such a topic that it's hard to actually grasp.
It's a little touchy. For people who are homeless, that's a very difficult situation to be in.
Right, and something that came to my attention is that there's different definitions of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start talking to people, and it's amazing what's actually out there once you start seeing this.
And I'd like to actually dive into that a little bit, because that is the issue that one of them that I've heard from officials as we were having these conversations, that unhoused people, homelessness is defined differently by different agencies that can cause confusion for people who are trying to access services and possibly for those like yourself who are trying to help in a difficult situation when they're not familiar with what's available. We have multiple different opportunities within our community that and entities that help with this difficult situation. For instance, the Family Center, they define homelessness as people who are in a crisis as a result of domestic violence. And that is the parameter within which they can help in that situation. Mary's Place provides temporary service or temporary shelter for people who are jobless, have no source of income, and are homeless, but they're not an emergency shelter. They can't help in an emergency situation. And they do have a couple different programs there depending on circumstances. And then the school district defines homelessness quite a bit differently than everybody else. They go with the McKinney-Vento, which is anyone who lacks a regular, fixed, and adequate nighttime residence is homeless. And that can be anything from an emergency shelter or transitional housing, being abandoned in a hospital or awaiting foster care, living in motels, hotels, trailer parks, or campgrounds, living in cars, parks, public spaces, abandoned buildings. I mean, it goes on and on. Those are very broad spectrums of what is defined as homelessness. With these conversations with officials, are you finding a disconnect there what services are available?
Well, a little bit. Like I say, I'm pretty new at this, and I've been learning a lot. Brandon has a lot of stuff available coming through the county. I was made aware of Jen Farmbaugh with the city. She's a co-responder working with the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department. She's funded by the Legacy Foundation grant, focusing on connecting individuals in crisis with long-term services and support. It's basically a collaboration between the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department and ODC. It started in January of 2025. So it's a fairly new program.
Okay.
She seems to be very genuine and wanting to help people out.
Well, if anybody knows Jen, you know she's genuine.
Right. This was something I was not aware of. Mm. For anybody interested, her phone number is 715-498-4629. I thought I'd get that out there. So
absolutely,
that is one resource that's available.
Well, and another thing that that keeps coming up during these conversations is 211, because that is an umbrella of kind of all of these, connecting all of these different entities together. And that's a way that people can, that number's available 24/7. You can call that number anytime. And whether or not it's answered in this county or they staff it statewide, I don't know if it's a nationwide number or not, but it is statewide. So 211 is a resource for anybody who calls. So I think that just with the variety of opportunities and things out there, what do you think is the next steps here, Jeff, for the conversations that are happening between the city and the county officials?
Well, I was really glad that we got together and we found all these resources in a fairly short period of time. We did every Tuesday in January. I would like to see get together maybe once every 2 months and have a meeting at the courthouse or the library and bring all the people to the table and just see if we can improve on it. There's always something slipping through the cracks. And we're just trying to do our part as elected officials to help people out.
And what would you like to see from the public? Are you hoping to have any interaction from the community here in Wisconsin Rapids?
I would welcome all the public input that I could get. Say we're elected officials, that doesn't mean we have all the answers. And the more I hear, the more I know.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced with some of this stuff. We're being a landlord. We've kind of got into some of this here, and I understand the hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can help people out by listening and lending my wisdom, so to speak, I'm more than welcome to do it.
Well, like you said, you have a lot of experience in this, being a landlord and having people. Which district are you again? I apologize.
I'm District 4. I'm over by Robinson Park, Mid-State Tech, down along St. Peter and Paul and along the river on First Street.
Okay. But something I've heard from city officials is it really doesn't matter what district you're in. You're happy to hear from constituents.
Right.
So how could people get in touch with you, Jeff?
My phone number is on the city website. I don't happen to have it with me.
We'll put it in the notes.
I sure appreciate that. I do answer emails. I answer every phone calls. Like I say, I'm learning to be an alderman. I've only been on for 2 years. It's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win an election and walk into City Hall with all the answers. There's a ton of common sense. I believe in helping people out as much as we can. So I'm glad to hear from the public.
Okay.
They're more than welcome to any meetings that we have. If any input we receive is something that certainly will be listened to.
And if you go to wirapids.gov, you can head to the county board website or page on that website, and you can find all the Alderpersons Connect phone numbers and email addresses there. So that's an opportunity to reach out to your alderperson. Why don't we take a quick break here, gentlemen? We'll pause for a short moment to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Jeff Penscover and Brandon Verink, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I've been speaking with Jeff Penscover, City Alderperson and County Board District Supervisor. And now we have Brandon Verwink here, Director of Human Services in Wood County. And we talked extensively about the conversations happening between city and county officials with Jeff here in our first segment. Now, Brandon, with you, I'd like to dive into the concerns that you're hearing as you've worked in this field for over 20 years. You're the director of human services in Wood County. Could you please talk through what the county is able to do to help in these situations and what services you offer?
Sure. So Wood County is not a housing agency. So housing agencies are generally federally funded. So there's a number of different entities that apply for grants, receive them, and then implement the housing program. So we work with a lot of different partners within our community to assist. So when someone comes in our door and is in a situation where they're unhoused, we do resource with them. So we work through them to understand their current situation and then refer them to resources. So we have great contacts with our partners. And I call them partners because we work with them pretty much every day trying to address the issues that are happening within our communities. So we have some really great partnerships, and we have a really great team of staff that have good knowledge of what those resources are. In Wood County, we have North Central Community Action Program, which really is a primary housing agency. That's the work that they do. So they're a great partner that we work with regularly. We also partner with other agencies that can assist, such as CW Solutions, which is a provider within our community that also operates a number of housing programs. So those housing programs vary. So it's not one check mark fits all. It's a kind of a wide open position. So some programs are limited to, for example, youth that are exiting foster care that are turning 18 years of age that are looking to get into their first place. So they may be eligible from the age of 18 to 24. You may have some programs that are eligible to anybody over the age of 18 and others that have certain requirements within them. So the good news is that our team that does resources understands what eligibility criteria fall for each individual. So they're able to get them to the right spot rather than having to kind of muddle through it all on their own. So I think that's a great benefit to the ability that we have to help resource folks that are having a tough time in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Because some of those services, like you said, may not be available through the county itself, but you're able to refer them to somewhere else that can.
Absolutely. And that's primarily what we do. So we have, we know most of the resources. You know, I think back to my time as a case manager. As a case manager, your job is to help the individuals that walk in the door, help them be in a better spot than when they came in. So our case managers are fully vested in doing that. So they're always looking for additional resources. Thinking back to my time working as a case manager, we were constantly calling to see who had the ability to help. That could be agencies such as Catholic Charities or a local church that certain times during the year has a little bit of money set aside to help with some imminent issues that are coming up. So we're aware of those on a pretty regular basis of what's changing and what's available, and that's what our job is. So whereas we would certainly love to help someone right in the moment within our office, we don't have those resources in relation to housing. So we make sure that we're well aware of what is out there.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we hear often and we've talked about quite a lot is fraud in systems like this, and people who take advantage of those situations. What do you do at the county level to ensure that that's not happening?
Yeah, so overall within our programs, we have great integrity. We have two case managers that, as far as the public benefit side, that specifically work on fraud detection. And when they do find fraud, then they're able to process that and work through the state's process of determining what someone has to repay. Sometimes if it escalates enough, it can be a referral for prosecution. Now, those situations are relatively rare. Now, if you look at Wood County as a whole, we have very, very low fraud rates or error rates. So I think the last data that I saw, we were at, of all the cases audited, we had a 0% error rate, meaning that there wasn't benefits issued in error. So certainly those error rates vary across the nation. You know, we look at different states. Wisconsin, I believe, is in the top five for the lowest error rates in the country. So Wisconsin overall does a really good job of detecting and evaluating, making sure that correct payments are going out. So Wisconsin definitely is a nationwide leader on that front. So certainly we want to make sure that benefits are going to the folks that are eligible for them, and ensuring that they don't go to folks that should not be eligible for them. So that's something that's vital to our operation, and something that certainly the county over the course of time has been committed to making sure that we do a good job in ensuring that benefits are accurate.
And as far as we've heard a little bit more here about potentially losing some funding from the federal government, how are those potential cuts affecting your agency?
Well, I think the biggest thing that is on the horizon right now was a change that occurred in H.R. 1, otherwise known as the Big Beautiful Bill. And there's going to be a cost shift within that bill. So what that means is that currently right now the federal government splits the cost of administering food share benefits 50-50. So 50% of the cost is covered by the federal government, and 50% of the cost is covered by local governments in Wisconsin, so counties. That change will occur beginning October 1st of this year. So what that means at the county level for a county, Wood County size, is about $50,000 just in that last quarter of the year. So if you extrapolate that over the course of a full year, that would change to about a $200,000 hit that the county would take beginning January 1st, 2027. So there's some legislative efforts that are ongoing about this, to talking about really shifting the costs from the feds to local agencies like ours. And there's a lot of advocacy going on between Wisconsin Counties Association and the National Association of Counties. So we are working with those folks, working with our legislators to explain to them what that difference means for counties and how it might affect the county overall losing that funding. So some good conversations going on right now. But as far as bigger changes, I would describe that as probably the biggest thing on the horizon for us is just absorbing more of those costs. Other things that were included in the federal changes, I think it's too soon to tell what's going to happen. So certainly we are preparing to meet federal law, and we will meet federal law as required, and we will adjust to what we're directed to do.
Mm-hmm. And with losing some of that funding, is that going to affect the number of dollars that go to families? Is it going to affect staffing? Like, where do you see the fallout of that $200,000 a quarter?
Well, I think that's going to be a conversation when we get through the county budget time. So that'll begin July, August of this year. So we got a little time to see where this lands. There may be some changes. That's our hope, that there may be a delay in implementation of the 50-50 to 25-75 split. So that's one of the things that may happen. The feds are considering that option right now. So I don't want to get too far ahead, but if we were to get in that spot, that'll be a discussion that happens through our county budget process of how do we make that up and what changes do we make. Now, certainly the hope would be is we don't have to address that imminently. If we do, I'm confident with the leadership we have on the county board and our Health and Human Services Committee to make some good sound decisions to mitigate any differences that might come up.
Okay. And these conversations that are happening between the county and the city, where do you see that evolving, and how can the two entities work together more than you already are? Because it does sound like you're on a day-to-day interaction.
Yeah, I think anytime you have collaboration and conversation, good things come from that. Certainly there can be differing opinions, and sometimes those differing opinions are because someone doesn't know something. And then once they learn about it, it helps a better understanding. So I think the big thing is ensuring that everybody's on the same page, understands what each other entity is doing, so we can all pull in the same direction. So I've always welcomed conversations, been part of a lot of conversations over the course of my career, and I think they're really fruitful when people are open-minded and listening and sometimes have those aha moments of, you know, because I think sometimes we jump to the question of, what is the city doing? What is the county doing? Why aren't they doing something? And but when those entities talk to each other, they quickly realize that both are trying to do something. They just weren't aware of that. So that collaboration and conversation, I think, is really key to get people really on the same platform and knowing that they can trust each other, that everybody has everybody's best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. So I think it's putting us in a good spot, and certainly kudos to Jeff for pulling that together and really being the driving force and getting us together so we can understand.
Wonderful. So how can people get in touch with your office if they're in need of services or if they have questions?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin Rapids area, our main phone number is 715-421-8600. Otherwise, folks are always welcome to walk in the door at our River Block building right down by the river and ask for assistance. So we have folks that are readily available to see people the same day to provide them services. If they just want a resource and know what is available, we always have folks that are available to meet with them one-on-one and kind of understand their current situation and explain to them what we can do in the moment. I can't guarantee someone's going to walk out the door saying, I got everything that I need, but they're going to have the knowledge to help them get to a better spot than when they walked in the door. Mm-hmm. So we are available 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday to help folks that walk in or call our phone number. So,
and I can attest, that building is a little intimidating just looking at it, but if you walk in the door, the receptionist right there was super helpful. She was very friendly and was happy to direct wherever I needed to go. So I very much appreciate that.
Good.
Anything else you want to add, Jeff?
I'm just glad that people like Brandon are on our staff. These people genuinely care about things, and it makes my job so much easier. You know, if I need an answer, I call them up, I get the answer and then some, you know. Mm-hmm. And with the city too, being an alderman and a supervisor for the county, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You know, you can kind of stop stuff from sliding through the cracks or make conversations a lot easier than what they might have been. The downtown redevelopment project comes to mind. You know, there was some pretty intense negotiations going on this last summer, and you know, it's just good to have a perspective on each side of the aisle mm-hmm. to make sure things do work. And like I say, this homeless thing, people like Brandon, people like Katie Schumer with North Central Community Action, and Jen Farmbaugh, these are people that should be involved if people are having some sort of crisis in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I very much appreciate both of you coming in today and speaking with us and educating our listeners about what is happening and what services are available. So I think we're going to close it out here. I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Jeff Penskover, City Alderperson and County Board Supervisor, and Brandon Verwink, Director of Human Services in Wood County. Thank you both for talking with me today, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And thank you to listeners joining us for News in Our Community on Perspective 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.